It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O you man of God? Are you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us tonight. Let us be praying in Jesus' name. It seems strange that this young lad and his mother had been saved in the time of famine. It was because the widow woman was willing to obey the Lord, she was willing to obey the prophet, when he said, "Make me a cake first, then you and your boy can eat." Something which seemed very selfish, but the Lord was in all this. There was a challenge to the woman to believe the word of God. To her, it might have seemed a bit impossible because she only had enough meal and oil to provide for herself and son a small meal, and then they would die. And Elijah's now saying, "Make me a cake. Make me, with that meal and that oil, make me something." But there was a challenge of faith there, because it seemed if she did that, she and her son would die straight away. But she obeyed. She was, I believe, a godly woman. She was a woman of faith. And because she was a woman of faith, when she obeyed the prophet who was speaking from the Lord, and he'd given her a promise from the Lord, he says, "If you do this," he says, "the barrel of meal, that barrel that you've got a little bit of meal at the bottom there, that cruse of oil that's got a little bit of oil there, just enough for you and your son," he said, "if you do this," here's the promise, "the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." You're going to be kept through all the years of famine if you obey the voice of the Lord. And she obeyed. And she did exactly what Elijah said. And he remained in her house and did eat many days. And then this happens. The son dies. So later on, they're in the house, and obviously Elijah is lodging there in the widow's house, and the son dies. And you think, well, what did they go through all that exercise of faith for if the son dies? And the woman is in distress. And what she becomes aware of immediately is that although she's a godly woman now, like all of us, she is a sinner. In the past there are things that she has done wrong, whatever they might be. Maybe there is one particular sin of which she was particularly ashamed, because she says to the prophet, "Have you come to me to call my sin to remembrance?" And now this has happened, it's because I'm a sinner. Elijah didn't have an answer. It was as much a surprise to him as it was to the woman. But he knows his God. And he knows that having saved them, the Lord wouldn't slay them unless there was a particular purpose in it. He wouldn't slay the lad. So he took the lad. He took him up to his room. The woman is under the conviction of sin. And Elijah comes before the Lord. You see, he does nothing before seeking the Lord. He lays the lad on his bed where he abode. And he cried unto the Lord. You know, when we face difficulties in life, when there are things we can't understand, we need to get into prayer and find out from God and seek God. Why is this happening? What must we do to seek guidance from God? And I believe in his heart, he believed that this was not God's will, that the child should die. And he acted in faith. He acted in faith. Seems a strange thing to us what he did, but he's acting in faith. Maybe there's the idea of warming the child. He lies on the child, and Three times he lies on the child and is praying, Lord my God, let this child's soul come into him again.
You see, his body was dead.
Soul was gone. And the Lord heard Elijah. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And he said, the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. What a demonstration there was there of the power of the Lord. See, the widow had had some demonstration of that. She was kept during the time of famine. Maybe the famine had now ended, because it says it came to pass in verse 17, after these things. But here was a further test for the woman, and here was a further test for Elijah. And when Elijah appears, bringing down the child alive, giving him to his mother, and saying victoriously, see, your son lives. The woman said, by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. There was a confirmation in all this from God to the widow woman that this man Elijah was not just a one-off miracle. He was a man of God who spoke God's word and spoke the truth. She had a confirmation that he's a man of God and that the word that he spoke was the word of the Lord. Now I know. Life from the dead. Oh, you see, there are many examples in the New Testament that Jesus demonstrated that he's come that we might have life. Life from the dead. We know of those three occasions in the New Testament. Those three occasions in the Gospels where people's lives were torn apart by death. And Jesus has come to deal with that problem of death. Not just the death of the body, but spiritual death. Eternity. Separated from God, eternity in hell. And there was a demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ and his power. When one day he came to the city of Nain, the only time the Bible records him going there, and as he gets to the gate, there's a widow woman coming with her dead son on the funeral cortege. And Jesus had compassion on this woman. And he stopped the funeral procession. And he spoke the word, and the son came alive. And there was Jairus, who came distressed because his daughter was on the point of death. Hurry, master, come. And you know the story as they were coming back to Jairus' house so that Jesus could minister to this girl. A woman touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And the whole procession stopped while Jesus spoke to this woman. You can imagine Jairus getting agitated because his daughter is dying. By the time they get to the house, the servants come out and the men of the house come up and they say, don't bother the master anymore, she's dead. She's passed away. Jesus would have none of it. He took his three disciples with him into that room, got rid of all those wailing and mourning, because in those days they used professional mourners who really had no grief at all, but they made the noises. They made the sounds. They're still doing some countries today. Weeping and wailing and making a tremendous racket. He put them all out. So you can have none of these things around where faith is in operation. They began to mock him and laugh him to scorn. He put them all out. He said, maid, I say unto you, arise. Or as it appears in the Bible, Talitha Kuma. And she who was dead sat up. Alive. Bring her something to eat. Whatever she died of, she had no more. Whatever caused it, it was gone. She was alive. Do you think the mother and father didn't then believe and trust in Jesus Christ? And then, of course, that wonderful example in Mary and Martha's household where their brother Lazarus died. He's put in the tomb and Jesus delayed his coming. By the time he got there, they were saying, Lord, we can't roll the stone away. It's been 4 days now. It will stink. He said, roll away the stone. And he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, bound hand and foot in the grave clothes, came out. I imagine him coming like this somehow, or jumping and hopping. He was alive. Oh, but what a revelation there was to the people around them. And what a message Jesus began to preach. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead spiritually, shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. You know, we've got a revelation of this in the New Testament, that Jesus came that we might have life. He died, he rose again, he defeated death. He is the resurrection and the life. And in this Old Testament story, God is manifesting the fact that he is the God of life, of all life. And the one who was dead is raised from the dead. You know, when we look at Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11 and verses 3 and 5 there, I think it is. It says in verse 2 of Matthew 11, it says, when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which you do see, hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, the good news, preached to them. And the poor, seeing these things, believe. And John began in prison to be in doubt. But I believe his disciples came back and said, no, no, these mighty miracles, there's life. There's life from the Lord. You know, the word of God promises us that when we proclaim the gospel, the good news, that God will confirm his word with signs following. This widow woman, she had known something of the authority and the power of Elijah in the business of the food that he provided, which continued and continued and continued miraculously. But now she could stand and say, now I know that you are a man of God. Let me read it from 1 Kings 17 again. She says, now I know, by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ as the giver of life, once we were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we have been made alive by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And we can say we know that this is the truth. This widow woman received a miracle during the time of famine as a result of her obedience and of her self-sacrifice, giving all she had. She went on to know that even in death there was victory. This is the message we proclaim today. This is the message we proclaim today. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus know that even in death there is victory. Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight that your word shows the way in which you work. And Lord, when our needs are at their greatest, you demonstrate that you're able to supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. Amen. We can trust you, Lord. We can trust you, Lord. We can know your word is true. You are the life-giving God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we can know resurrection life in Christ Jesus, raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with us this week and use us in your service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.